This is All About Living with Carol Colby. All About Living is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral Home Cremation Care, Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison. All About Living with Carol Colby.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our program. What a beautiful day. Yes, it is winter in Wisconsin, and it's nice and crisp and cold out there, but there's nothing. I really enjoy winter when it's sunshiny and cold and crisp, and it's a pleasure to have you join us. Now at our, and some of you may be just tuning in for the first time, we've been new at this time for a few weeks now, 10 a.m. Saturdays, here on 106.7 FM, 1670 AM WTDY. I'm Carol Colby, and the program is All About Living. And we just have a super exciting program for you today. I am so pleased to have my guest here. I've just been delighted to get to know her. And it is truly special that we have her here in Wisconsin. You're becoming a Wisconsin treasure now, Monique.
I guess so.
Yeah, and people listening to your voice can tell, well, that's not a Wisconsin accent.
No. It's hard to pin it, actually.
Yeah, but you were born in France, right?
I was born and raised in France, yes.
Yes.
And it's so delightful to be back to the land after being in many big cities around different parts of the world.
Well, that's one of the reasons you're in Wisconsin, is the fact that you love our land, you love our terrain, our climate, you love our rolling hills.
That's right, and that's the reason we moved up here, to be part of a small community, and we are definitely part of a small community now in a driftless area of Wisconsin. I love to use that word.
Driftless.
And that's over. I kind of drifted around the world a little bit, so now I'm just driftless, I guess.
Well, and the driftless area is the western coast of Wisconsin.
The western coast, around but Brooklyn. Southwest coast of mm-hmm. Wisconsin, above the Mississippi, the mighty river. Yeah, so I wish I could say I have it all, but almost.
Well, we have it all by having you in Wisconsin. And let me give a little bit of background now that we've established that you were born across the ocean and have arrived now in the countryside of Wisconsin. Let me talk a little bit about what you've been doing in between those two times and what you're doing now that ties in so much with a really important initiative in our country.
That's right.
Monique Hooker, our guest today, is a chef. And she is a chef, teacher, and an author, and has really had a lifelong enthusiasm for both food and travel. And you were trained as a chef in Europe, mm-hmm. in France.
That's right.
And then moved to New York, and you worked alongside and actually made great friends with many chefs, some of the names whom we know, Jacques, and is it Pepin?
Pepin, uh-huh. Jacques Pepin. Uh-huh.
Yes, yeah. And then there were many others that you worked with in New York.
Oh, yes, many. Yes. Many chef. Not everybody makes headlines in a paper, but there's lots of great people out there. Really.
Well, and he is such a famous name and a presence in the culinary world. And then you, in the early 70s, moved to Chicago, operated a successful cooking school, catering company, restaurant, and wrote an award-winning book, Cooking with the Seasons. Mm-hmm. A Year in My Kitchen with, and Tracy Richardson was the author who assisted you in that book. Then you hosted a TV show called The Seasonal Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And were you ever on the Food Network? Because I think the Food Network phenomenon is something.
I was on the Food Network twice as a guest in New York. And I think it was not for me. No, it was not for me. You're so restrained to what you're supposed to do that I just wanted to be really, I'm a teacher. I'm a born teacher. And I just wanted to be always in a teaching position somewhere, somehow. And I found really a good place to be. And even in my retirement now, I'm giving my teaching back to the community in what I'm doing right now.
Well, you certainly are. And this is what we want to talk about. What you are doing now, because now you are teaching and you are part of the American Culinary Federation's initiative, and actually Michelle Obama's Let's Move initiative.
Let's Move initiative,
and
yes.
Really mm-hmm. coordinated through the U.S. Department of Agriculture,
right.
But it's called Chefs Move to School.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So being a teacher, you couldn't be in a better position.
Well, it's a brand new program, and we're still at its infancy, so it's nice to be at the at the starting point of this wonderful movement. So,
well, and it's really to address the nationwide epidemic of childhood obesity.
Yes, very, very big. And the association I'm mostly involved right now with, which is very strong in Wisconsin, is Farm to School. And I think a lot of people are going to be familiar with that, Farm to School, which is also now being accepted by the department, the DADCAP of Wisconsin, which is in the legislature now that the school can implement with that anyway, other permission to implement the Farm to School.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also kind of the same thing parallel to the chef's move to school. The chef is just moved to school, is bringing chef in. But the Farm to School is something that's really taking off. It started about 5-6 years ago, and now in Wisconsin is very, very strong. And so this is what I'm doing. I am training food service people to have choices and how they can prepare food for our children. And I want to say outright that the school, all the school, for the majority of them, are doing a great job with what they have to work with. Let's be frank about that. And I've found that in every school I have visited. The other thing I want to spell out is like a lot of us out there don't sometimes do enough research to understand how the school work. But the obesity and a diabetic problem, it's not a school problem. It's part of the problem, but it's not 100%. We're quick at pointing out if the kids ate better at school, they wouldn't have this problem. That is not the point. The point is the school is only part of it. So that's a part that I can make a difference in by just going in and giving them some new skills or new tools, new venue, new motivation, because that's one of my big things. I love to motivate people.
Well, and it's not just focusing on the kids, but it's looking at educating the teachers and the parents, the food service people.
It is.
The community as a whole. So it becomes a lifestyle of that community and not just a meal that a child has at noontime.
That's right. And you just put your finger in it. It's a lifestyle. And hopefully when we are working with the children at school, and it's all about choices. I want everybody out there to understand that. We all have that choices. Now, whenever we make that choice, it's what's important. So we're trying to make the choice for our children at very early age. Even this summer, I am going to be training people who are taking care of our preschoolers. So I have 10 training sessions this summer at different parts of Wisconsin where we're going to be training people who are feeding our preschoolers and baby care centers and things like that. So the earlier we can do that, the much better off we are, because we already see the changes in the kids when we started 5 years ago in kindergarten. Now those kids are entering middle school, and the middle school we worked with 4 years ago are now entering high school. So this is what we are talking about. We're talking about how we can get those kids at an early age to really fall in love with that wonderful pea and really make it seasonal, make them aware of the season. And as it say, Farm to School is trying to see locally around you who are the producers and who you can support. It's all about sustainability. Sustainability is, of course, the community, but the health of our children. Because if they're not healthy, they're going to be a really big burden for the health care. And it's all tied in. And I think it's time that we pay attention to that. And we can look at the grocery stores and look at the outside aisle around the grocery store instead of going up and down the aisle where all the packaged good is. It's a big ball of wax, let's put it that way. I like to say, when I go in, I said, okay, let's work with the rainbow. And children love to work with rainbow. Rainbow to them is like, wow, in the sky. But when you put it down on the plate and you give them crayons, I say, how would you like your plate to look like? And they're quick at picking up colors.
Mm-hmm.
And then just making them tie that color to some fruit and vegetables.
So it's almost like an art class.
It is art, because cooking and eating is an art.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot separate it.
And the colors, and if they're painting a picture or drawing a picture in their art class, they're actually putting a group of colors together on a plate.
Yeah, and a lot of our children, not put their fault, and because a lot of the parents, and not their fault either, because we've lost, I truly believe we lost 3 or 4 generations of people who have not been cooking in the kitchen anymore. And it's not, because the choice is out there. We have fast food. Let's put it that way. We've got fast food. But we have fast food also in a grocery store. We don't have to cook. We can buy a chicken already made. We can buy food already made. So the sensory of cooking, the culture of food, it's gone. We don't smell it anymore. We don't see it the way we should see. We don't feel the texture. We don't hear the crispiness. So I do all that with my cooks. I just came back the day before yesterday from Wood County. I was up in Marshfield. I hope they're listening. Abundant. And they were great and wonderful. And we had that wonderful cohesiveness in the kitchen of learning to listen to the crunchiness and to the colors and to the smell and of even dry spice, how you use dry spice, how to make dry spice smell better, And so using your hands and it's just making it, it's not a job. To cook is not a job. To eat is just not to eat to survive. It's a whole culture behind it. It's how we view it. So it's how you sit down, the conversation you have, that's what.
Well, and that's very European, though.
I think it's throughout the world. It's throughout the world. I think, European experience, great. But I've traveled the world and I see the same thing. I've been to Asia and they love to sit around food. They don't even have courses. Everything is on the table. Then it's like a communion around the table and everybody sits down and enjoys that food and converse around the food and, joy or sadness. Everything is shared. And that word of sharing is really, really important. And that's
so
what I do.
So it's social engagement, it's conversations, mm-hmm. It's more than just taking a piece of food and putting it in your mouth.
And run.
And for sustenance, right.
And so the school system still has a long way to go. I'm working with the Chef's Move, we're working with USDA, and we're going to see a lot of changes. We can't pin them down yet, but there's a lot going on that to try to even bring our corporate food processors mm-hmm. to do a better job, to take all that sugar out of the food, all that salt out of the food. And that will transplant, it will go into the grocery store too. Mm-hmm. One thing is tied to another. So eventually we'll see that. So teaching people to eat better and read the label. If there's sugar in there, you don't need that sugar. You don't need all that salt. Because those two are two big component that really influence your health, especially when it comes to breads and things like that. They have choices, and I'm all about choices.
The delightful voice you're hearing is that of Monique Hooker, and Monique is a culinary pioneer, really, a chef and a teacher and an author, and she is currently living in the area of Viroqua, Wisconsin, and working with the Viroqua School District as well mm-hmm. as other school districts as part of the Chef's Move to School program. That's Michelle Obama's initiative of Let's Move to really combat childhood obesity, and then the Farm to School program. And what a better place than in Wisconsin, and certainly in the western part of Wisconsin.
Exactly.
You've got the breadbasket of the world right in your backyard.
Right there. And when we first moved up there, we picked up the area because of the climate, the rolling hills, and we had everything we wanted from there, and a small community. And by a year after I moved up there, I realized how many organic, and of course, Organic Valley is there. So
that's one of the fastest growing industries in Wisconsin is the organic farming.
Because they're very sustainable. Everything they do is very sustainable. So for farmers who are starting out, farmers that want to change over, there's a lot of push that way. And it's very great opportunity for them. But we're not asking the school to go organic yet. I'm waiting for a few more years for that. But I'll get back to that sometime. But in Wisconsin, I saw all the wonderful vegetables that people were growing, all going out of the valley. They were all going to the Twin City, to Chicago. Whole food trucks comes up there and gather everything. And we cannot find it in a grocery store. I said, something is wrong here. And then we have all those wonderful family who want to go back to farming lifestyles who are coming up there to start farming. And they cannot make a living because they have no venue for their vegetables. They say, wait a minute, we've got all this hospital, retirement home, school that could be using some of that. So we started that way. So that's what we call farm to school, how we can connect them. And of course, you know, I'll say it right out that I don't suggest that the school go and buy directly for the farmer. They got to figure out this. There is some regulation, of course, there because the safety of our children are in hand. So it's finding distributors, local distributors, are willing to distribute our local food to the school. And it's really happening. We have big company like Sysco and Reinhardt now are taking on.
So everybody's getting on board, but it takes time.
It takes time.
We need to stop for a break. And when we come back, I want to talk specifically about how you introduce a new program like this. Change is always difficult. Mm-hmm. And then you give perhaps new flavors and new tastes to young children, and they're well known for saying, "Ooh, I don't like that." And then how do you combat that? And how do you go about training the food professionals in the school systems and get the teachers on board and get the families on board so this is something that continues in the home and the community environment? There's lots to it. It's all about process and detail, detail, detail. The devil is always in the details.
Oh, yeah.
And you're handling them all. And I watched a video of what you are doing in the Viroqua school system. It's just amazing because you're out there on the farm and you've got the kids out there on the farm and you've got the kids chopping vegetables with you and you are putting up vegetables and you've got the kids tasting. And so when the product finally comes to them to eat, they've invested so much in it.
Yeah, it's theirs.
It's theirs. They own it. They own it already before it goes into their bodies. So it's just really a fun experience, and we're going to continue our conversation here on All About Living on 106.7 FM, 1670 AM, WTDY. You're listening to All About Living, and this segment of our program has been brought to you by Home Health United. You got a friend right here, online at homehealthunited.org.
Madison 1670, WTDY.
Welcome back to our program this morning. Just some facts to set up our continuing conversation with our guest today. Over the past three decades, childhood obesity rates in America have tripled. Today, almost one in every three children in our nation is overweight or obese, and the numbers are even higher in African American and Hispanic communities, where nearly 40% of children are overweight or obese. And if we don't solve this problem, one-third of all children born in 2000 or later will suffer from diabetes at some point in their lives. Many others will face chronic obesity-related health problems like heart disease, high blood pressure, cancer, asthma, to name some on the list. So it is critical that we embrace this problem and do something about it, and that's just what our guest is doing today. Our guest is Monique Hooker, and Monique is a chef. She is a chef, teacher, and author, born and trained in Europe, born in France, and then moved to New York and worked alongside some of the top chefs in the world, really, that names that we know, such as Jacques Pepin, and then moved to Chicago, had a cooking school, catering company, a restaurant, wrote a book, Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen, had a TV show called The Seasonal Kitchen. And now you and your husband live in the Viroqua, Wisconsin area, and you're working with the Viroqua School District, Monique, in two programs, part of Michelle Obama's, our First Lady's Let's Move initiative, her initiative to combat childhood obesity, and then the Farms to School program.
Right.
And both of these programs, the Chefs to the Move to Schools is coordinated through the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Farm to School program is through the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, and each state has a similar program.
Farm to School is nationwide, is, you know, definitely, and in some state it works better than another state. And Chef's Move to School is a brand new initiative, and we are just at the beginning stage, and it's going to be pretty much formalized as we move on. And they're both very similar in ways, but in the Chef Move to School, we're trying to get local food service people, chefs and cooks, to become humanitarian and really, you know, come to school maybe three times a year, once a week, whatever time they have to really come to school and share their talent and their knowledge with either the food service people, doing fun program with the kids, because you have to make it fun. I really, every time I walk into any place where I'm training, I just use the word fun. It has to be fun. And if it's fun, you can put smile on people's face. And so what the Chef Moves is doing is organizing a training pilot program where they're going to go around the United States and train chef, volunteer chef, how to understand the food service, because you have to understand.
Right, you need some training yourself. How many chefs around the country are involved so far in this program?
Well, there are quite a few, and most of the time, 99% of them are volunteers because they have kids at school or whatever. But they don't need to know; they need to be aware how the school service, food service, works, because it has very, very fine restriction when it comes to the vitamins and the nutrient that the kids have to have per portion. It is very, very controlled because of food costs. They have very little money to work with. You know,
well, so, and doesn't it cost more? That's one of the complaints, that kids can't eat right, or families have difficulty eating healthy because the vegetables and fruits, they cost more.
Yeah, of course. And of course they cost more. We've been in a society for the last, 30 years, cheap is better, and we have to stop that, because that's not true. If something is produced by a huge manufacturing company, of course it's going to cost a lot less. But if it's produced by an artisan style, like the farming community is, an artisan style, then it's going to cost a little more. But it's also, you have to look at the long range. If you eat something healthy to begin with, your body is going to react very healthily. You don't have to cross all the medication, and all the illness that we're talking about will not develop as much. So that's what we have to understand. So
how do you start? You're a part of this program, and so you have gone to some meetings, some national meetings, right, to get this program going.
Well, to get the program going, I started with the school myself. I just went in and I said, we had a wellness group that got together once a month, and we're trying to figure out how we can get the wellness in the school. And it's really initiated by either the phys ed teacher, the nurses, and trying to get some people in the school that are willing to do something. But then we met so often, once a month, and nothing was happening. So I finally said, you know what? I'm retired. I'm giving you my time. And I've been doing this for the last 6-7 months, once a month. I said, that's it. I've had it. I said, either we do something physical, new material. I want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me, it was in August, and they told me, I said, Monique, what would you do? I said, well, it's August. And August, as we know, it's the fifth season, we call that, because it's a season where we all put food up for the winter. At least we used to.
Mm-hmm.
And people are doing that again.
Oh, I remember my mother canning.
Exactly. So I said,
kettle boiling with the water in their kitchen.
Exactly. And I said to the group, I said, we have all this vegetable available here. They're throwing them away. They're not harvesting them because they're not perfect for whole food or whatever grocery store. They're beautiful vegetables. I said, but we don't need those vegetables. We need second and third vegetable that's crooked or whatever, and we get them a lot less, And so we did. And I said,
did you go to a farm, or did you set up a relationship with any of the agricultural people?
Right. We decided, okay, what do I do? I said, I would make ratatouille. And ratatouille became it's like an icon of the program, because the movie had just come out, and so I knew the kids would pay attention to it. The vegetables were plentiful, the zucchini, the squash, the peppers, the eggplants, the onions, the tomato were overloaded. All the farms didn't know what to do with them. So we got those really cheap. So what we knew, and I wanted everybody to know out there, we are not getting vegetables for free. We are paying the farmer. That's what farm to school is all about. We are not getting free vegetables, because that's not the point of the program, is to make everybody sustainable. So we went for a grant. So I said, let's find some grant. Okay, how much money do we need? We need to buy the vegetables. We need to buy the container to freeze them. And my whole goal, in as many schools as I can, I said, take advantage of the season. Freeze all you can in season and then use it all through the winter.
Because so you move with the seasons.
You move with the season, and our school system goes to school from September till May. No vegetable grow in that time of the year in many parts of the United States. So take advantage of the season mm-hmm. and put as much as you can up. And now we've got school putting up ratatouille and grated carrots and stir-fried vegetables.
So you did that right in the school, and you worked with the food service people.
Right, for the food service people. So it's finding that school food director mm-hmm. or someone at school that's really willing to listen to you and to really move forward.
So you had to get the administration on board to approve this.
That came after.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you were able to get this
food
going.
Food service, food service are really, if they don't spend more money than they have to, they don't have to deal with the director. They're very pretty much dependent. But it's nice to have it.
Okay.
We do have the support of all that.
So they have autonomy to the point of they have a budget.
Right. They have a budget, and they can choose where they can get mm-hmm. their vegetables and their food. So that's there. And they just have to be willing to do it. But changes are difficult. You cannot go in the kitchen and say, okay, you're doing a terrible job. Let's, you're not feeding the kids right. Let's change it. Mm-hmm. No. You can't do that. You have to look at what they're doing and say, okay, what are you doing now? Okay, this is what we can do it a little differently. You're not changing, taking something away. You are really showing them how to present it differently and then work with the children by doing, we do a vegetable of the month. So we pick a month. So we say sometimes it's Brussels sprouts, sometimes it's sweet potato month, sometimes it's asparagus month. And then what we do with that, we try. This is where the chef can come in. Come in that day and work with the kids and have a tasting going on. The kids taste, and then we serve it in the cafeteria. That is always a winner, because if the kids see it, taste it, then they'll go to the cafeteria and eat it. So this is where it begins. It's just ground roots. And before you know, we're doing tons and tons and tons of vegetables and fruit. And sending home a little handout that tells us the history of that vegetable, where it came from originally. So we go all the way to India or Indonesia, wherever, or Africa, wherever.
So you tie it into education, and you have them know right. about the vegetable, mm-hmm. the history of the vegetable.
Yeah, and how
the
it got here.
The component of it, uh-huh.
And how it grows here, what it looks like, with tiny seed and tiny sprout. And we'd bring sometimes sprout to the kids, and they just look at it. It's all in the...
And from watching the video, you took the kids out to the farm.
We do that sometimes. So it depends on the school. If the school has ability to have field trips, which is, again, a thing that's been cut. A lot of schools don't have any more field trips. So you have to find money, funding mm-hmm. of some kind, to take the kids to the field. It's sad in a way, but we can do it.
But you were able to find some grants.
Yeah, and there's plenty of grants out there. And there are local businesses that are willing to give grants. We got a great grant from Organic Valley to get us started and find a way mm-hmm. To give us farmers that were willing to, let us buy the second. So you have to look. It takes time, and it takes that wonderful leadership that you really want to do something and take propriety, be proud of it. And so what chef can do, like myself, with Farm to School or with the Chef Move, is put you in the media, put you out there, and make your school proud of being the leader in one of those things. And that's what I did with Viogra. So we got media cover because of who I am. We got the video, which is now available nationally. You can download it. Anybody in the United States or around the world can download it. And so we have now people in Europe coming to see what we're doing. Because it's happening everywhere.
So. And the one recipe that you showed on the video is how you use all of these vegetables that are available at the end of the summer. You're talking about the zucchini and the onions and the tomatoes mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. the eggplants. And you made ratatouille.
We made ratatouille.
And explain ratatouille, because some people, what is ratatouille?
Well, ratatouille, for anyone who's listening at it, what does the word mean? Touille. When you're a kid in France, stop tossing it around. Stop mixing it up, when you're a kid. Well, in France, they tell you, stop to touiller. Touiller means to just stir up things and whatever. And rat means rag in the old French Provençal word, Mediterranean, where those vegetables are going. So ratatouille means, touille it all together. So it's a stew. It's a, summer vegetable stew. And so we started with 300 pounds of vegetables. We're now up to 2,200 pounds of vegetables.
Really?
And it's served all through the school year. It goes in a freezer. And if we freeze it.
And explain all that's in it.
Wait. Well, you start with onion, summer squash and zucchini or just zucchini. Peppers, red or green, whatever you got available. Tomato and eggplants. And wonderful basil, thyme, and oregano. We call those three sisters. The three sisters.
Basil, thyme, and oregano.
Go in there. And, of course, garlic. And that's it. There's no fat. There's no salt. There's no, nothing. All the flavor comes out of vegetables. And what do we do with it? Oh, my goodness. It's all online. We'll give you the information later. Mm-hmm. All the recipes that I do are online. And we make pizza. Kids love pizza, so we make ratatouille pizza. And they adore it. We make ratatouille calzone. We do it in a wrap with other things. We put in tomato sauce to put over pasta. We serve it as a side dish. I mean, you make it as a soup. There's so many things you can do. So we freeze it by the amount that we're going to use in the cafeteria. So you don't have to defrost a whole big thing. So you size it to whatever your service is. So now we have so many schools doing it. Every August you can think about. And how did we do it? We got the staff of the school in before school started, mm-hmm. and we paid them. They got an extra day work. So we had calculated for 3 days for them to do it. We did it all in one day because they were so excited. It was like a rainbow. You can look at the pictures.
So everybody, it's like an assembly line.
Assembly
they're chopping.
Line. Chopping and slicing and putting in a pan. And the one thing that is so funny is that when they saw all those vegetables come into the kitchen, mountains of them, I mean, I think I should have called 911 because it was like, oh, my God, are we going to do all this? I said, don't worry about it. One thing at a time. It's overwhelming. And you have to, a chef can take that away from them, that overwhelmingness. It's just mm-hmm. like, it's easier than you think to do it. But the one thing was the garlic, 25 pounds of garlic came in. And I saw the cook, she's taking one garlic clove at a time and peeling it and say, oh, my goodness, we're going to be here until next Christmas. So I showed them how to process 35 pounds of garlic. And, half an hour, 45 minutes, we had the whole 35 pounds peeled.
So this is what I'm talking about.
This is why we need those chefs to go in, mm-hmm. to give those skills, to show them it's okay. It's so what I've been doing around Wisconsin and Iowa and places like that is I go in and I give them knife skills, learning how to use a knife, how to process, mm-hmm. how to slice a carrot different ways. So the kids were like, wow, you've got to make that child wow. And I tell the food service people, those kids, they're not kids. They're your clients. And when you're in a restaurant, you've got to make those clients happy. You want to put a smile on their faces so they can come back. You have to make it smell good so you can get the staff in there. And the staff at school is a tough one.
Yeah.
So the adults are very difficult to change. I'm sorry to say that, but the kids are much faster to change than the adults are.
Well, and I bet they all have such a good time doing it together.
Oh, they do.
My mother used to do a lot of cooking. Growing up in northern Wisconsin and for church suppers or big parties or whatever.
Yeah.
And she and a group of women would be in the kitchen together. And she told me, she says, Carol, you'll always have more fun working with a bunch of people in the kitchen, just getting
That's
the food
right.
ready
yeah.
than just sitting out there and being served.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they would laugh and have uh-huh, fun and, uh-huh. and they just made beautiful things. They would uh-huh. cater weddings, at the churches, and
That's
it was
right.
they had so much fun.
There you
and
go.
They got very good at what they did.
Exactly.
And had fun in the process.
And practice. And we're talking about children. It takes children minimum 5 times of tasting something before they adapt it. So mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if it's spinach or kale or whatever. It takes them that 5. So you have to allow that time. It takes mm-hmm. an adult 12 times.
12 times. So adults
are
worse.
To make them change. They're worse.
So if we get that scritched up nose and say, I don't like this, just ignore it.
That's first time.
Then
yeah,
4 more times uh-huh. before they finally
yeah, exactly.
say, oh, this isn't too bad.
No. Mm-hmm.
Well, on the video, there were so many of the kids. I love ratatouille pizza.
That's
and
right,
they
yeah.
they really were all excited about it because they had a part in it. We need to stop for a break and we're going to come back and see about incorporating some of these ideas that you have and what you're using in the schools into our daily lives, into our community, mm-hmm. into our families, so we all can get on board. Our guest today on All About Living is Monique Hooker. And she is a marvelous, a world-renowned chef, and she's here in Wisconsin working with young people in the school system to bring better and healthier, nutritious meals and eating habits to our young people, and hopefully that as they become the leaders in the community, those habits will be well established. You're listening to All About Living on 106.7 FM, 1670 AM, WTDY. This segment of our program is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center. Welcome back to our program. We're talking about combating childhood obesity through eating healthy and nutritiously and getting some guidance in doing that, which is that exactly what our guest is doing. Our guest is Monique Hooker on All About Living today, and she is a chef born and trained in France, moved to New York, Chicago, and now lives with her husband in the Viroqua, Wisconsin area, and is working with the Viroqua Area School District and other school districts in Wisconsin and Iowa and throughout the Midwest. And this is a growing program. She's working actually with two programs. One of them is part of our First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move initiative. And Mrs. Obama is calling on chefs, trained chefs, professional chefs, to get involved by partnering with a school through the Chef's Move to School program. And this is a brand new program to help educate kids and school food service professionals, teachers, parents, the community about making healthy food choices. And you have a unique ability because you know how to do it. You know how to make food. You know how to make large quantities of food. And how to deliver the message, how to teach people about food and make it fun and appealing. And not overwhelming, because when you come in with all of these foods that haven't been touched and something needs to be done with them, if you don't have a background in it and no training, you just want to walk away.
Yeah, you do. And the other thing is what we have today, and the same thing at home, we have equipment I did not have when I was trained. And when I was trained in Europe in the 1960s, late 50s and 60s, we didn't have all these food processors and slicers and whatever. So everything was done by hand. But today we do have a lot of good equipment that can help us. And this is one of the things we're doing with this two program. We're helping the school getting grants. And those grants are applied many times towards training and equipment. So too many grants. So I urge every school out there who are listening to this to really look into trying to get grants that allow you to buy equipment. And you don't need that much equipment. You need a good a slicer, something that helps you to slice a lot of vegetables at the same time, a chopper, you know, things like that. So they are on the websites, they have toolkits, we call them, that are available for your school. So there's some help. So I'm not teaching people to really do everything by hand. That is not my mission at all. It's just how we can use the new technology that we have in our hand. We got big steamers now and things like that. We got roasters and whatever. So, yeah.
This Chef's Move to School program, there's another one that parallels it, and it's Farm to School. And these are both national programs. The Chef's Move to School is also coordinated through the Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The Farm to School program is through the state, Wisconsin Department of Agriculture. So through their websites, I'm sure they have additional information, but I have some more websites that you have provided me with, and these will all be posted on carolcobyradio.com, carolcobey, K-O-B-Y, radio.com, along with this program by probably the end of next week. So you can always look up and listen to this program again. But let me just give those to you. It's just look up Chef's Move to School or Kids Cooks for Kids Season 4, Chef's Move to School, or Wisconsin Farm to School Programs. And that's farmtoschool2.org. So just by clicking on any of those sites, you'll get a lot more information about this.
Which is another beautiful thing that we didn't have. I always say, if you don't know, Google it. You know, I'm not promoting Google, but I tell you, without Google, I tell you, you can find anything you want out there that has happened. There's lots of recipes, lots of program. And again, those two program work with home. We're trying to have the kids not tie this to home, because we cannot change the problem with diabetic and all those kids' illness that we see at an early age, unless the home does the same. Because it's, again, it's not the school fault. It's not caused by the school. A lot of people are quick to point the finger, well, if the kids were fed better food, yes, but it's also at home. At home or when they go out or sport activity. And so it is eating and physical.
The combination of what you eat and
the word moves mean the same, that thing, mm-hmm. the movement.
And the exercise.
Walk, exercise. And it doesn't have to be sport activity. It has to be something you get off the couch, you know, and do something like that.
So, and park far away from the door of the grocery store.
Yes.
So where can a family begin if they decide that there's too much of the fast foods and the TV dinners in their life, and they'd like to take some simple beginning steps to incorporate a healthier lifestyle and healthier meals into their daily living? Where should a person begin?
Well, I think the first thing is to try to listen and look at your family and see what they like, you know. And a lot of kids today, they lack, you know, they lack Mexican food. They lack Italian food. They look at what you like as a family and pick something within that menu, one thing that you're going to change, that you're going to make fresher. So if the kids like green beans or they like asparagus or they haven't seen something, you should show them a picture and then go to the store and say, take something from the outside of the store.
Right? That's really important, shopping the outside of the store.
And then go to the farmer's market and talk to the farmer. Pick one thing. It doesn't matter what it is. And very simple. Use your oven. Anything you roast, if you put in the oven on a sheet pan, you can roast kale, you can roast Brussels sprout, you can roast asparagus. It's just a drizzle olive oil, put in the oven and you roast it until it smells good. The minute it smells good, just take it out.
And take it out. And that keeps the nutritious qualities in the food.
And makes it taste wonderful. Boiling food is many ways it's nasty. I don't like the word boiling. I like the word steaming to retain nutrient. Roasting retains nutrient. Boiling is not, the only thing you boil in the kitchen is water, period. Okay, mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. So again, I just use the word simple. Keep it simple. Put the kids to work with you. Let the kids tear the lettuce. Put them next, bring them to the food. One of the dishes that's very, very popular in the school is I show how not to cook vegetables, as in root vegetables, like carrots, parsnip, turnip, rutabaga. I grate all of those, mix them all together, and serve it as a salad. The kids adore it. It's a lot of flavor, and it's not the rutabaga that many of us grew up with. It's not the turnip that we all grew up with. We make a muffin. You can download it. We make a muffin, and the parents do it at home. It's called a harvest muffin, where I put in, we take away a lot of the oil, replace it with applesauce. Mm-hmm. And then we put in grated carrots or grated zucchini or any kind of grated vegetables. And they just love it. And we can turn into chocolate. But when you turn into chocolate, one of the kids that came up, everyone, once in a while, you'll hear a kid come up. I just adore them when they just come up and say, oh, Chef Monique, there's a green worm in my chocolate muffin. I said, well, no, that's a zucchini. It's okay. It's, you know? you're fun with it. Mm-hmm. You know?
But keep it simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. You don't need these long recipes with ingredients that you've never heard of before. But spices versus a lot of salt?
Oh, you use a lot of herbs, a lot of spices. Mm-hmm. And spice doesn't mean spicy. When we're talking about dry oregano or anything like that, and before you use your dry herbs, rub them a little bit between your fingers. It tastes a lot better. You don't have to use as much. Mm-hmm. It's just play those games with the kids. Use your sensory. Like I say, make a rainbow. Have the kids draw a rainbow. I say, which one of those rainbow would you like? I say, well, let's go for a yellow one. So what's yellow? Well, yellow. Let's see yellow. Well, banana is yellow. Maybe orange. Well, sweet potato is orange. And say, well, let's try sweet potato, you know. That's what you got to do.
If you're going to do a project with your family, with your children, then take them in the kitchen and do it. And it's not always doing an art project or building something, but build something healthy in the kitchen.
Yeah, make them own the program. The same thing I do with the school. Once I train the school, I move away. you know, and I come back and do something different. But the Ratatouille project is their project. I have nothing to do with it anymore. And that's the thing to do. It's just chefs mm-hmm. out there, anybody wants to volunteer. And it can be a parent who knows how to can volunteer. With a lot of people can volunteer to help the department. Parents mm-hmm. can move back into school and help also, instead of staying on the outline and saying, well, I don't know what you're doing. I know. That helps a lot, and that helps with the education. And teachers are always looking for guests to come in to do a program, so it kind of gives them an extension to their teaching. It can give them a little time off to, you know, something new. So there's lots of teachers out there that love to have you come in and do a project. So work on a project, download the project. There's tons of them on our website, and go in there with them and get to know one of your teacher, get to know one of your principal, get to know one of your board school board members.
And I'll have those websites on carolcobyradio.com, carolcobey, K-O-B-Y, radio.com, along with this program by the end of next week. So you can either Google Farm to School or Chefs Move to School, and you'll get all kinds of ideas and recipes and mm-hmm. projects to do. We're going to stop for a final break, and we'll be back with our last minute or two of words of advice from Monique Hooker, our esteemed culinary pioneer chef and author. You're listening to All About Living here on 106.7 FM, 1670 AM, WTDY. This segment of our program has been brought to you by Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. Monique Hooker wants everyone to learn how to relax with food as well as experience the joy and satisfaction of preparing meals from fresh ingredients. She's doing that as a chef helping in the school systems and the school districts with the new Chefs Move to School program, part of Michelle Obama's Let's Move initiative to conquer childhood obesity, and the Farm to School program, which is bringing the local foods right and having them remain in the community and enter the school That's right. system and training children early. What are some of the main things? There's a new plate that the definition of what we should incorporate in our daily living to eat healthy.
That's right.
Explain that.
The new guideline, you know, we all may be some familiar with the pyramids mm-hmm. of the food guideline. Well, that was very confusing and for a lot of people and very complicated, whatever. So they've come up with something that is much easier to do. And it's really looking at your plate. Take your plate, you know, choose a plate that you're going to serve for dinner and take the plate and see how you can really portion control your food. And this is where it really all begins for health and for also cost. And you know, we talk of cost, it's an issue. And I said, if you just pay attention to your plate, so the biggest portion of your plate should be covered with fruit and vegetables.
Okay. Fruit and vegetables.
Fruit and vegetables. And then you have a smaller portion, which is not even a quarter, that is really with your protein. So your protein can be a vegetable protein, or it can be a meat protein or a fish